Welcome to the Summit Church Podcast. These podcasts are recordings of our Sunday morning worship experiences here at Summit Church in Canyon, Texas. If you're looking for a church home, we want to invite you and your family to be a part with us every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. For more information about Summit Church, you can visit yoursummitchurch.com. We believe that God wants to speak to you, and we pray that your life is encouraged and inspired through today's message.
I'm going to welcome to the stage, and I want you to stand and give him a great West Texas Summit Church welcome. Come on, let's welcome Scotty Haynes for being in the house this morning.
Hello, hello. There we go. Just had to turn it on. Okay. All right. Hey, if you would stay standing this morning, thank you, Pastor David. My friend, my pastor, so thankful for Pastor David and Janae and the whole Gadbury family. We love them so much, and I guess the Mason family too, wherever the electric guitar player is. And we are truly blessed to have friends like them, and just excited to be here this morning. Excited to be here at your Summit Church. Excited about what God is doing. And man, I love being able to come here to be part of it. I love going to other churches, seeing what the body of Christ is all about, because when we can go outside of where we're at, we see that, man, the thing we're doing, the God that we serve, the church that we're part of, is bigger than one city. It's bigger than one state. It is across the world. It is literally the greatest thing on the face of the earth. It's the way that people find freedom. It's the way that people are set free. God, I don't know why God chose us infallible humans for him to work through, but he did. And it's a privilege and an honor to be part of the church. Amen? We get to do this. It's not something we have to do. God has allowed us to be part of the kingdom of God. And I'm excited to be here with all of you. So why don't we do this together? Let's stay standing, because I know we stand here when we read the word of God. And so, if you have your Bible, your hard copy, digital copy, I'm an equal opportunity Bible reader, so I think you can read it in lots of different versions, as long as it's the Bible, amen? And if you don't have it, we're going to follow on the screen. We have quite a bit here to read, but I want to read this morning out of Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. It says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all." At this time, just quickly, the Gentiles were anyone that really wasn't an Israelite. So they weren't the way it had been through history, is they didn't get the blessings of God. But as we know, Jesus came for the Jew and the Gentile, and that's all of us. Amen? And then he says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added into you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." I love this text, as Jesus is reminding us of what we are to be all about. We are to be about the kingdom of God. We are to be about the kingdom of God. It's what when we give our life to Jesus Christ, it's what we step into. It's what we're all about. It's what he has for us. Our focus should be on the kingdom of God. But I understand that in life, things happen, distractions come, and it pulls our attention away from the kingdom of God. And so it's not always easy to recenter, refocus, come back to the kingdom of God. That's what I want to get into today. I want to hopefully help us, as God has helped us and helped me and all of us together, how we can refocus when distractions come our way on the kingdom of God. So if you're a note taker and you're taking notes here in a minute, you can write this down. I do like to title the messages. Sometimes I do more than one title because I'm schizophrenic in that, but I couldn't make up my mind. But today it's just one, and the title is Stop and Smell the Roses. So let's pray. Father, thank you that I get to be here. Thank you that for what you're doing in Canyon, what you're doing in this whole area, in this county. Thank you that you're using the church, God, your Summit Church and the other churches in this community to show people the love of Jesus Christ. And I pray today that we would not forget that it's all about your kingdom and your purpose. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak. That's what we need. And that we would hear what you're saying. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, have a seat if you would. Thank you so much. What a good morning. Man, just have breath in our lungs. Amen. A little chilly this morning, I understand. It's a little windy, but I know that's normal. And so we are excited to be here. I think I'll introduce me and my family. My name is Scotty, and do we have a picture? I think someone said we had a picture. Look at that. There's a picture of our family, and so blessed. My wife is here with us, Shelly. You can give a little wave. Yeah, that's my wife, Shelly. Married 27 years, and amen. Thank God. That's a testimony to her, the fruit of the Spirit, being alive in that woman, patience. And then our family too. This is my daughter in the middle. She is 25. She just joined a staff in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, as their kids director. The guy on the short fellow on the end here. This is my son Christian. He's 22, and he works at a bank. And this is his fiance Kelsey, which is in PA school. And so our family is expanding even as we speak, but we love her and we're thankful for her and we're thankful for our family. And man, we have a good family. God has blessed me. It's because of his goodness and his faithfulness. So you've met my family. And so now let's jump into this. I don't know if you've ever had one of those weeks, but a challenging week where Murphy has seemed to have his way or move in. We've had a little challenging week as we've had some car trouble. And I don't know if you've had car trouble before, but it's funny. I think car trouble will bring out the flesh, I should say. And, we have a great mechanic. We do, a very faithful, very honest mechanic. Really has always done a great job for us, but it just, like, it pains me to take my car to a mechanic. And I'm not even that skilled, but I still feel like, for some reason, I think I can do things. I think I can get it done. And so we actually had a starter go out, or was going out on one of our vehicles, and it was a push-button start. And I pulled it into the garage, and I was like, Shelly, I can do this. I think I can get this starter off. And so it actually wasn't, if you know anything about cars, sometimes you have to go underneath the car, sometimes you can go in front, on the top of the car. I was able to go from the top, so it wasn't too bad. And I take out the battery, I take out the plate where the battery goes, I take out where the air filter goes. I'm doing pretty good. I'm YouTubing this all. I didn't do this, I just YouTubed it. And you can do anything on fix anything with YouTube, amen. And so... I got to the starter, and I didn't have quite the right tools for it, like, because I needed an extension. And so there were only two bolts holding the starter in, but I don't know who put these things in, what machine. But I tell you what, it was like in a weird spot. Anybody that's worked on cars, you know what I'm talking about. And I can barely get the socket on it. And then I'm like, with as much as I can get, try to find the spot, I'm trying to find where I can get leverage. And I'm trying with all my might but I break several extensions. I do, and so Shelly's in the house. She's working on something. I come walking through the house. I'm like, I don't know why I'm sticking it, take this car to the mechanic. I come walking back by. This is a stupidest thing ever. She just smiles, loves me. Go back out, work on a little bit more, come back in. This is why you should save your money so you can pay a mechanic. Come back. I mean, literally, it's one of the most frustrating things that you deal with, you know. But I get it off, take it in, get it tested. They said it was okay. It wasn't. They were liars. Don't ever trust the auto parts store. I'm joking. Very thankful for those guys. And anyway, got it to the mechanic and got it fixed. Now, even if you haven't done that, you're like, I don't tackle those things, you probably at least changed oil in a car before. Or if you have cars like we grew up having cars, you had to put a quart of oil in your car pretty often because it was leaking everywhere. Well, here's what I found, is this is a great tool to put oil in your car. Can I get an amen? Now, you don't have to have this. You can think that you can hit the spot, you know, with it, and you're going to get a little oil somewhere. Some of you are like, no, I'm pretty good at it. I know you're an expert. You've had cars like I have. But this simple little invention allows everything to go to where it's supposed to go, right? This thing is handy. I mean, you need one of these, especially when the place isn't very handy or you're adding different stuff to your car. A funnel makes all the difference. We got to have the right tools, especially this one. And as I was thinking about today, and as I was praying about today and thinking about the kingdom of God, I was thinking how awesome it is when we have what some would call tunnel vision, but for my illustration, I'm saying funnel vision. What if we had funnel vision to the kingdom of God? What if we could focus in, even when distractions come, but focus in on God's kingdom, God's purpose, and God's plan for our lives? And I believe as we read in Matthew chapter 6, and that Jesus is helping us to see how we are to continue to focus back on his kingdom. Not just a pastor, not just a worship leader, but I'm talking every single one of us that would say we are Christians, we follow Jesus Christ, then every single one of us has to be able to, even when things are distracting and when things are difficult, we have to be able to come to a place where we can refocus our attention, where we can refocus our energy, where we can refocus our resources on the kingdom of God. I believe that most of us as Christians want to do God's will. I believe most of us want to do God's work. We want God to use us for his glory, to do great things for him. But if we're honest, we know that life happens and things try to rob our attention and our energy, like just busyness. We get busy. The busyness of life. We fill up our schedules, we do things, and we know that can pull our attention away from what God has for us. Or maybe the pursuit of provision. It's not bad to provide. We should be good providers, but there comes a place and time often where that becomes the greatest thing in our life. That's what we're looking for. Or even the hope of happiness, where we're like, we're searching out for our own happiness, which God never intended for us to be happy. God intended for us to be joyful. Joyful from him, not from the things we pursue, but from pursuing him. Then he gives us a supernatural joy, right, that is beyond what we'll ever find in all of our pursuits. So we get caught up in these things. We get caught up looking for them. And I think as we read in Matthew 6, we see that we hang on to these things thinking we have to make this happen or we have to make provision happen instead of just trusting God in it, which is no condemnation. It's just difficult. And I think at the root of this, as we see in Matthew 6 in the 25 through 34, is worry and hurry. The root of this, of getting off track, is worry and hurry. And if we don't let go of one thing, it's hard to pick up another thing. And so we have to be able to let go of worry. We have to be able to let go of just hurry in our life. And we have to be able to replace those with certainty and trust in Jesus. If worry and hurry is ruling us, what we really need to do is lay those down and pick up the opposite of those, which is certainty and trust. Amen? You know, have you been around those people that like seem like they just do good at this? Like, they don't have worry. I mean, oh, it'll work out. It's good. They're just so laid back. It's like they don't worry about anything. Like they just go through. I mean, things happen and it just rolls right off their back. They're just like, it's all right. And you're just like, and you that often that are like doers, you get frustrated and you're like, no, it's not all right. You've got to get this done. I mean, this is how my family is. My daughter, she wants to plan out 2 years in advance. Dad, what are we doing March the 13th, 2022? I'm like, I don't have a clue what we're doing. And my son's the opposite. He's like, it'll work out. No, that's tomorrow, Chris. I know. It'll happen. The money will come in overnight. It's all right. I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to choke you. It's just how he is. And it's like, you get around people like that. There was in the early 1900s, there was a golfer. His name was Walter Hagen. And he was not a Christian, but he just lived life that way. I mean, he would go play like these big tournaments, and he wouldn't know where the money was coming from. He would just go play and pretty much cheat people out of their money at another golf course. He didn't care. He's just like, it'll just work out. Well, he actually coined the term stop and smell the flowers. He said flowers, not roses. He was one of those guys that just like, he didn't worry about stuff. And I was thinking that I often see people that don't do this, and then I see us as Christians that allow worry to rule our life. Listen, if you worry and you stress, it's okay. God understands that we have human moments. God understands that even fear will creep in at times. If you look in Romans 8, when it says in Romans 8, 15 through 16, it doesn't say that you'll never have some fear. It just said that God didn't give you a spirit of fear, which means you can have human moments. You don't have to beat yourself up. It's going to happen sometimes, but it doesn't have the power to rule you. It will not become your spirit. Because the spirit that he goes on to say that is in you is his spirit. So when fear creeps in and worry creeps in, you have the power to refocus, recenter, and funnel your attention back on the kingdom of God. I'm like, as a Christian, I want to be the person that doesn't worry. I want to be the person that doesn't fear. But then when people say, how in the world did you do that in the middle of one of the greatest difficulties you have faced in your life? You can say, I can tell you right now, it's not me, it's Jesus. I naturally am like I'm naturally a positive person. I mean, literally, like I getting around negative people drives me bonkers, and then I don't become godly. I actually try to purposely push their buttons, you know, just for fun. So like if I'm around you, you're like, I'm not a morning person, I will like push that button. It says in Proverbs not to do that, but we're not perfect. Someone pray for me, amen. And but you know, I remember, I'm pretty positive, and I remember that people will ask me, like, hey, how do you just kind of navigate that? And I'm just, man, I'm just built that way. You know, I'm just built that way. That's what I said for a long time. And I remember I was praying one day, and that came to my mind. And God was like, is that the way that you were built? I was like, well, you know, I think so, God. You know, that's, you know, God's asking you a rhetorical question, and you're like, this is not the right answer, God, but... And God said, because of Jesus, that's how you became that way. So no matter what we face, no matter how we're built, the redemptive power of Jesus Christ transforms us, renews us, makes us into a new creation, one that is focused on who he is and on his kingdom. And that's the way I want to be. And a lot of people think Walter Hagen came up with that concept, but I think that Jesus came up with this concept of stop and smell the flower, the roses. And we see this in Matthew 6, 25. When you go read through that in Matthew 6, 25 through 34, six times in there he actually says, don't be anxious. You know, sometimes we don't get the clue. He's like, hello, McFly. And you're like, okay, I see what you're saying, Jesus. That's good. Jesus, if you just give me a sign. He's like, I just said six times, don't be anxious. And he also says, not just to be anxious. He speaks this, and we're going to get into this, to giving thought and slowing down a little bit. Because he asks questions that should cause observation. He says, look at the birds. Do I not care more for you? And consider the lilies. He's wanting us to to think about who he is and what he does. And then he brings it into seek first the kingdom of God. Jesus' purpose is for every single person to live according to his kingdom. If we're a Christian, I tell people all the time, I was like, when we're a Christian, we jump into the cause of Christ in the earth. And you're like, well, someone just said I had to pray a prayer, confess, believe, I'm saved. You are. But you also, I said, you didn't read the fine print that says now you step into not living for yourself because you said you're going to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Now you say, I don't live for myself, I live for you. That's the fine print. Amen. And if you're not a Christian today and you're in here and or you're watching, I just want you to understand that as a Christian, I'm not any better than you are. I've just said that now I'm going to live for Jesus. He redeemed me. And though you are not a Christian, he still created you to live according to his purpose. You just don't know it yet. You're like, well, I got mess ups, mistakes, problems, issues. Join the club, because even those that say they are Christians still deal with those things, but God is redeeming us and working on us as we live this thing out for him. He wants every one of us to live according to his kingdom. And the life that Jesus has for us will never be fulfilled. You'll never reach your full potential. You'll never, ever be all that you should be if all you do is focus on earthly things instead of eternal things. I love this. We've been doing these devotions with Reverend Gadbury, and there's a few of them. And they're good, though. And in one of them this week, here's what Pastor David said. He said, sometimes we misunderstand what abundant life looks like. Life to the full is life lived in the center and purpose of the will of the one who created us and saved us. Amen? That's where it's at. That's your sweet spot. You want to know where your sweet spot is? It's living according to God's purpose and his kingdom. And as we read in Matthew, in this text I gave you today, you can actually go read before and after, which is always a good idea as you study the Bible. Read Matthew chapter 5 through 7 as Jesus gathered his disciples together. And we know the crowd got bigger, but he began to speak to things concerning the kingdom of God. And in the middle of it, he goes into this, what we've shared. But what I love about that is when you look at verse 25, he actually starts that little text that we're looking at today. He starts it with, therefore, I tell you, which means there was something pretty important preceding that. Amen? If you ever heard someone give a speech or a debate, they say all their stuff and then they say, therefore, this is what you should do according to what I just told you. And so right before he jumps into 25, let's read what he says in verse 19 through 24. Matthew 6, 19 through 24. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is your whole body, the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. He's getting to this point of saying, focus on kingdom, not focus on just earthly things. Earthly things are purely to fulfill kingdom things. The only reason we do things here on earth is to accomplish the kingdom of God. And we need to be reminded of this, and he's saying this, don't focus on these things, don't focus on these other things, because he wants us to understand, come back to the kingdom of God, and we give our life to Christ, and we remember, but then we also forget, or we come with great focus and attention, but then we lose it, and so we need to be able to continue to come back to that. And so this morning, I want to give you 3 points, they won't be long, I'm going to give you 15 points, just joking. You're like, oh my Lord, Pastor David, who is this guy? People are texting him right now. 15 points. Pastor David said, take as long as I need. Praise the Lord. We need something to help funnel our attention back to Jesus. And I was thinking of the SOS signal that goes out, that when ships or different things are in dire straits and they need help, they send out this SOS. I know some of you are thinking probably more of a Jonas Brothers song, but that's not what I'm talking about. Connor, I know that's your favorite band. We play golf. Connor plays Jonas Brothers all the time. I think Kevin's his favorite. Oh my gosh. So three things, SOS, that'll help us kind of come back, focus in back on the kingdom of God. And they are slow down, observe, and seek. Number one, slow down. Well, why slow down? I'm a fast-paced person. That's just how I am. I get things done, Pastor Scotty. Well, that's good, but I found that when you're in a hurry, you can't concentrate. When you're in a hurry, you can't focus. And when you're in a hurry, you miss things. It's like, this is so funny. Shelly and I, when we go somewhere and we travel, I usually am like, we're going to break the record. It took us 10 hours last time, 9 hours and 30 minutes this time. Honey, I think the Bible says you obey the laws of the land. It doesn't pertain to speed. They didn't have vehicles in the Bible. You need to be able to read it in that setting. You know what I'm saying? But Shelly's so observant. She is. Like, I'm focused. I'm hammered down. And she's like, oh, deer over there. Oh, she really pays attention. And so whenever we go back to a place for a second time, I can't remember how to get there. You can ask Pastor Dave. I don't even know. I'm just like, now where do I turn again? And she just remembers. It's because you have to slow down to be able to do this. And we don't slow down enough. Now, I know what's happened in our culture and our society right now with COVID and everything has caused many of us to slow down, but this isn't something that we should forget of being able to slow down. Listen to this. In 2016, there was a survey done, and it said 52% of Americans said they're usually trying to do two or more things at once. I'm not good enough to do that. I need all of my attention. Listen, another study said that Americans check their phone on an average of once every 12 minutes or over 80 times a day. I remember when we didn't have cell phones. You'd check your message when you came in, and then you hope your phone didn't ring all night. You know what I'm saying? You're like, please, don't call me. I mean, you forgot the phone existed half the time. Life is at a frantic pace. I mean, we cram-pack our schedules. We just do. It's in so many of us. And there's such a freedom in slowing down. And, you know, it's not bad to be intentional. It's not bad to even be busy as long as you're intentional about it. If you look at Jesus' life, he was busy. If you go back and read, there were many times he couldn't even sleep. He was busy all the time. But if you pay attention to his life, he wasn't so busy that he didn't pay attention. He would be on the way to heal one person, and someone else would approach him, and he'd just say, oh, no, busy, focused. He would stop, and he would spend time with them. In the midst of being swarmed by people, he would sit down with his disciples still, and he would share things about the kingdom with them. And he wouldn't just say one story or two stories, sometimes three and four stories to bring home a point. Because even in the middle of a busy life and things, the man that had the greatest mission ever, he still took time to slow down. In a devotional I was reading this morning, it said he did things that were important and let the unimportant things go. See, just because we're busy doesn't mean that we're effective. We feel like we need to be busy. If we have sometimes moments of too much downtime, we feel almost guilty. Come on, I've been there. I've thought that same thing. And we've got to get past that. But I want us to understand that slowing down is not just enough. It also needs to be coupled with observance. Number two, observe. Jesus said to look at the birds. Just look at the birds. Take time. If you look at that word look, it literally means turn your eyes on. So take a moment. It says to consider. And he says what? Consider the lilies? That talks about really keeping in mind, giving thought to care for. I don't think we can truly observe without slowing down. To ponder. I like the word ponder. Get your ponder pose. Let's do this sometimes. People say, what are you doing? I'm just pondering. What? All of life's secrets. Is Kevin really talented? What about the brother that doesn't even knows exists? Okay, anyway, sorry. You're like, what are you talking about? We have to fight to give sustained thought to things. I like this study that was done by Microsoft in 2000. This is going to blow your mind. In the year 2000, they did a Microsoft study. And it said the attention span of a human was 12 seconds. They did it again in 2020, and now it's 8 seconds. 8 seconds. Our attention span is 8 seconds. That's crazy. It's because we know why. I mean, we social media and the things, the way things are funneled now towards culture, that's what it is. And so it's not easy to observe, but we know that God said that even though with man things are impossible, with God all things are possible. Amen? So it's not going to be easy to slow down and observe, but it's possible, and I think it's healthy, and it has to be a must if we're going to continually refocus on God's kingdom and his purpose. And I would say that it's not just enough to observe. We have to observe with kingdom intent. It's not enough just to observe. We have to observe with kingdom intent, with the focus on God, with the focus on his purpose, with the focus on his plan. Because if we're going to get tunnel vision or funnel vision, it has to be that when we slow down and when we observe, it's so that we can greater capture the heart of our Father. You know, I really used to think that prayer and reading the Bible was something that would help God not be frustrated with me, or that because if I didn't do it a certain amount of time, he wouldn't bless me this way or bless me that way. And I just remember God being like, that's not why. I love you already, but I want you to know who I am. And you can't know who God is without digging into who he is, without spending time in the Word, without spending time in prayer, without thinking about who he is, what matters to him most, and beginning to think and ponder and observe what his kingdom principles are all about. And that requires us to slow down. That requires us to set time aside. That requires us to do these things so that we can line up with the kingdom of God, to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. You're like, well, what is the kingdom of God? Well, we could do a whole message on that, but to seek and save that which is lost. He said he came for whosoever, right? Every single person. And as we read the word, it says it's not his will that any would perish. No, not one. So it's to see people come to know him. It's to see people discipled and grow in him and flourish in him and live a life that's not for self anymore, but live a life for him. That's the kingdom of God. And it's the kingdom of God. He has it so that we are the ones that are in it. We are the ones that proclaim it. We are the ones that share it. He works through humanity, those that have given their life to him. That is the plan. There is no other plan. He moves through us. It's his kingdom and his righteousness. Loving people, even when they're unlovable, it's the kingdom of God. Even when they don't agree with you politically, we're still supposed to love them. We know they're crazy, but we still love them. You know, when I was a youth pastor, when I was like 22 years old, 21 maybe, I can't remember. No business being a youth pastor yet. But we'd play this game, sardines. Maybe you've played sardines before. So it's like the opposite of hide and seek. So one person goes and hides, all the lights are out. Listen, it's not a smart thing to do. I'll just say that right now. All the lights are out. You know, young people hiding close to, no, not good. you're like, oh, they're okay. They're Christians. Stop. Stop it. Not Johnny. That's my boy. He loves Jesus. Yeah, he does. He's fleshly too, you know. I know Johnny better than you do. So one person would hide. Everyone else would go find them. When you found them, you didn't say anything. You just hid where they were hiding until everyone was hiding there. All the lights are out. And so I remember, like, if someone was really good, it'd take a long time to hide them. And what I would do is I would go into a room where I thought they might be hiding, and then I would just stop. And it'd be dead quiet. And then I would listen. And I was listening to see if I could hear them breathing. And then when I could hear them, then I would go to where they were at and find them. And I was thinking about, we're so busy. We're running by things. We're missing the things that God is saying to us. We're listening to things that aren't even God. Jesus said that his sheep would know his voice. But we've just got busy, so often things get interrupted and messed up. We need to slow down and really listen for the voice of the Father. And when we hear him, we step towards him. And we say, God, I want to be part of your kingdom. I want to be part of your purpose, what you would do for me. To clearly hear the voice of the Lord. I kind of was thinking of it this way, is that just in a real practical sense, you decide this is what your life's going to be about, so you determine you're going to get up in the morning, just 30 minutes earlier, an hour earlier. Some of us maybe need to start 15 minutes earlier than what you normally would, and you're like, I'm going to get up and I'm going to worship God. And I want to pray. I want to dedicate. I want to make sure I'm doing this. If you miss a day, God's not beating you over the head, but it's going to become a consistent thing in your life. Or maybe you're a really late night person. I can't do it because I fall asleep. You know, it's one of those things where I'm like, Jesus, I'm ready to pray. God's like, you tried last night, but you fell asleep in the middle of it. Anyway, so you do that and you worship and you read the word. And then in that moment of slowing down, because life has got us running ragged, you take a second, and as you observe scripture, you're reminded of who God is, of his promises. You even journal. I like to journal. I'm not always great at it, but I'm always amazed when I go back and read my journal from 3 years ago. I'm like, God, you're so faithful. I didn't understand it. I didn't know why that was happening. But then what you do is you observe the goodness of God. And then you say, God, if that's who you are, that's who I want to be. If that's your kingdom, God, if that's what matters to you, I want it to matter to me. And you submit yourself to the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I was praying this morning, and I think we close out in worship, don't we? Could we have someone come up and play? Probably not the electric, but just joking, Connor. He could probably pull it off. Meow, just right in the middle of. Okay, anyway. That quick, guys. That quick, I can lose it. I was praying this morning, and God, I really feel like God showed me something. And I was just, I was just like, even as I just rabbit trailed there, I was thinking about rabbit trails. And we give our life to Christ, and the Bible tells us that we are a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. But it also tells us that there still has to be a renewing of the mind. So that shows me that there's something from when we surrender ourselves to God and we're new, in between that span, that would cause us to still have to renew our mind. And it's all the things that come at us. So I just pictured in my mind that someone giving their life to Christ, and they are passionate and they're excited. God has saved them and changed them, and we remember what he has done for us. It's fresh and it's new, and we're on this journey with him. Man, it's all about him, right? We can't help but talk about him. People can't help but see the change in our lives. And I think often we get so, we receive such shame and guilt, but most of us aren't choosing to go away. We just catch a rabbit trail. So we're going the right way, but then, oh, well, we do need to provide here, and we do need to take care of this. So we kind of step, and we, before we know it, we follow this trail of like, well, I'm the one that provides. I'm the one that has to do this. Or just things start catching our attention that God never meant to catch our attention. And so we're not intentionally trying to move away from God's perfect plan or what he has or even his kingdom purpose. But then we look up, and we're not even on the road that we wanted to be on. The things that are rolling our life are not the kingdom things. They're not bad things. They're things we need, but they're not the kingdom things. And we forgot where the passion was that when we said, I'm going to do everything for his kingdom. I want to, my vehicle will use to haul kids to youth ministry. My house, it's for a small group. Lord, my business, it's to give you glory and honor and praise. And so God understands and he's not angry with you and he's not mad at you for doing that. As a matter of fact, he's there with you. And he's just like, come on, the Holy Spirit, our counselor, is nudging us. Say, come on, let's just get back to where the kingdom of God is the thing that rules your life. And maybe that's you. Maybe you're that way right now. I just want you to know, just come to God. Begin to slow down your life. Observe how faithful he is and how much he loves you. And just recenter your focus on who he is. Because he is a good father that has a good plan for you to live out his kingdom. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness and for your faithfulness. That we get to do this for you, God. For your kingdom. What a privilege and what an honor, God, to live for you. And God, the kingdom, your kingdom is, I just see in my mind right now, God, your kingdom of people from all nations, all ages, all socioeconomic backgrounds. All different experiences. Some that have messed up greatly, some that maybe didn't mess up that much according to the world standards. But it's so diverse and it's so beautiful. And so I pray that every single person would know that you have a plan and a desire for them to enter into that kingdom and to be part, and that they matter because every single part matters, was created to fit and to be part of it. And so, God, I pray that people would know today that it's never too late to give everything to the kingdom of God. No more guilt, no more shame.